Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power. Whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
A relaxed, loving relationship in marriage creates home sweet home and is a miniature picture of heaven. Adultery shatters the blessedness of home sweet home. Marriage is the oldest of all human relationships or institutions. Before there was a church or a place of worship, there was a family. Before there was any kind of government, there was a family. Before the human race developed artistic or practical talents, there was a family. Before there was a Bible or any sacred scriptures, there was a family. The family, as the wedding vows remind us, is ordained of God and is beneficial. And the family remains as the foundation of a stable society and as the framework of personal happiness. Adultery robs a home of trust. Adultery brings guilt that impacts domestic relations. Adultery creates an atmosphere of tension and breaks the law of God. Included in the biblical guidelines for marriage, two items are stated with absolute clarity. Number one, marriage is a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. There are no alternative lifestyles. There are no casual live-ins. Second, a marriage calls for integrity, fidelity in matters of sexual expression. A truly happy marriage needs more than the absence of adultery, but a truly happy marriage, a home sweet home, is impossible if one partner becomes involved in illicit sex. God gave the Ten Commandments as part of the process of transforming the Hebrews from a slave mentality to a holy nation. In Egypt, the Hebrews lived in a culture given over to worship of the gods of nature, and in Palestine, the Hebrews were again surrounded by a culture which glorified free sexual expression. God's plan was for His people to be loyal to Him and to each other. God's plan is for people to enjoy the blessings of home sweet home. One of the surest ways to build a home sweet home is to follow God's laws in sexual matters. What a blessing! Home, sweet home. So becoming the right person is as essential to a happy marriage as finding the right person. Underlying all of this is the text verse of our theme today, found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, one of the Ten Commandments that God has given to us is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Stay tuned as we share in the broadcast today these 30 minutes together right here on Missionary Echoes.
I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I have sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore.
Zimmerman Trio singing for us there. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have of the sweet by and by, of the land of eternal bliss, home sweet home, as we were talking about earlier. We pray, Lord, that you will enrich the lives of each of our listeners today with that blessed hope. Thank God we can have the assurance because we know that our sins have been covered by the blood. Forgiveness has been granted. Transformation has taken place in our life. When Jesus came on board, we have never been the same. All matters have changed in our life, the direction that we're headed, the desires that we have, the love that has been planted within us has become so foundational to our guiding light and the direction that we desire to go. We pray that each of our listeners today will sense your presence, will sense your touch. You know those afflicted in body. You know those facing challenges perhaps as never before in their lives. The discouragement, the temptation, the defeat that can seemingly be so overwhelming to us when we cannot do maybe what we used to do, or we have had the disappointments that we have faced, the limitations that we have. We're thankful we can give it over to you and rest assured that God will see us through in this life. He'll grant to us the measure of grace that we need for each day, and that we maintain our desire to live for Jesus and to keep that blessed hope alive that one of these days we'll be home sweet home. Bless our time together today, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I met with storm and trial and my heart was filled with fear, when there was no one around to speak a word of help and cheer, when I met defeat and failure and my courage ebbed away, when it seemed my life was useless and I found it hard to pray, though I meant them all for good. When I walked the veil of sorrow and my heart was aching sore, when I faced a dark tomorrow with no ray of hope before, then the Lord Himself stood by me.
The LeBeau sisters there. Thank God for how He stands by us. If we'll stand by Him, He'll be ever faithful to us. Praise His name. Well, this broadcast is brought to you by the God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. We are about to begin Sunday school at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:30. The evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. You're invited to all of our times that we gather together. Tonight will be a special youth emphasis service, and perhaps we'll hear some good reports concerning the God's Missionary Church Youth Camp, which took place recently over in our headquarters area of Snyder County. This week, we are going to be in Vacation Bible School Monday through Friday from 7 o'clock to 8:15 each evening. Children are certainly encouraged to come, and we appreciate when parents can bring them and see what is happening. We're excited about Vacation Bible School and all of those who are working hard to prepare to present something good to us this week. So why don't you make that a part of your plans for this week? Pray for us as well. We're trusting God for a great week of Vacation Bible School. Stay tuned as we enjoy the remainder of the broadcast together today.
Just beyond the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace.
a crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain and disappointment there to hurt you. And Jesus Christ himself will be the light. There we'll never have to say goodbye. We'll be happy in the glory of his presence, and we'll never have a care or a sigh.
Well, that was me and my family probably about a quarter of a century ago. From Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Imagine a young couple who pledged to stay faithful to each other in marriage. They encountered challenging times, but they remained committed to their vows. Their testimony of loyalty is not only inspiring, but also a powerful reminder of the beauty of marital faithfulness. You know, life is full of temptations. Some of the most tragic cases of falling to temptation are those of marital infidelity. Have you known a situation like this? Scripture gives us strong warnings to avoid this particular sin. Picture a scenario where a person indulges in unfaithfulness without considering the far-reaching consequences. Instead of finding fulfillment, they encounter guilt, shame, and the destruction of trust and love. The warning against adultery is not to confine us, but to safeguard our well-being and our relationships. So let's look at the seventh commandment and some of its supporting scriptures. First of all, the admonition in the text. This commandment recognizes the institution of the family and marriage. Marriage is the oldest, the ordained and ordered institution of the scriptures, and we have a myriad of passages in God's Word that remind us of that from the Old Testament through the New Testament. We read in 1 Corinthians 7:2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Hebrews 13:4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Marriage is established by the sovereign. It's emphasized in Scripture. It's essential for society, and it exists for siblings as a place of safety, security, and support. In the same way, a pilot relies on the guidance system in the cockpit for a safe and successful flight, so do married couples rely on the wisdom and principles found in the scriptures to navigate the journey of marriage. Just as the guidance system ensures a smooth and steady flight, God's Word provides the foundation and direction for a strong and enduring marriage. This commandment reveals the intention. God designed marriage for pleasure, for passion, for partnership, for procreation, for prevention, for purity, for protection, and as a portrait of Christ and the church, his bride. Imagine a beautiful garden meticulously designed with different flowers, bushes, and pathways, each serving a specific purpose to create an atmosphere of joy and beauty. In the same way, God intricately designed marriage to encompass pleasure, partnership, procreation, and more, each element working together to display his divine intention for this sacred union. This commandment requires integrity and intimacy. In Proverbs chapter 4, we find these words, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Successful marriages require honor. They require humility, honesty, and holiness on the part of the husband and the wife. Imagine a house built on a foundation of honor, humility, honesty, and holiness. The walls are strong, the roof is secure, and the atmosphere inside is filled with love and respect. This is the kind of marriage that thrives on integrity and intimacy. This commandment rebukes impurity and immorality. Violation of this commandment results in defilement, disease, destruction, and debasement. We should be as much afraid of that which defiles our body as that which destroys our body. In the same way that a pristine, clear water source becomes contaminated and dangerous when polluted, our lives become defiled and dangerous when we allow impurity and immorality to take root. We must guard our hearts and bodies diligently, keeping them pure and free from defilement. I notice next the analysis of the text. This commandment prohibits unchastity in thought and desire. Jesus said, "I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." In Proverbs, we find these words, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Imagine a teenage boy struggling with impure thoughts and desires, feeling ashamed and unable to shake off the temptation. Well, the commandment against unchastity reminds him that his thoughts matter to God and that God can help him resist temptation. Oh, what an asset that is to the one who's struggling with temptation, with impure thoughts, and so on. This commandment prohibits unchastity in conversation. Ephesians chapter 5, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Think of a pristine white canvas being marred by graffiti. In the same way, unchaste conversation tarnishes the beauty of human interaction, reminding us of the need to guard our words and keep our conversations pure. This commandment prohibits sensuality in all its forms and actions. From Proverbs chapter 6, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." In Isaiah chapter 3, we read, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts." This is an extended figure of speech. Jerusalem is compared to a vain woman preoccupied with her appearance. Because of this, she will experience shame and degradation, the very opposite results from those expected. Impurity defiles, it destroys, it debases and damns the soul. Adultery is a terrible sin because it breaches the marriage oath. It is done deliberately, it is needless, it dishonors and displeases and disobeys God. Its consequences are devastating for the individual. It's devastating for the family, for society, the nation, and humanity. Adultery is a hideous sin because it is a thievish sin. It debases a person. It pollutes. It drains the purse. It is destructive to the body. It destroys one's reputation. It impairs the mind. Without repentance, it will damn the soul. And the adulterer is abhorred by God. Adultery is a health-related sin because of the physical, psychological, practical, and personal consequences. Purity is the highest, happiest, and healthiest, and the holiest standard of living. Oh, friend, let's determine to be pure. The application from the text, finally. Adultery encompasses one's appetites, the acts, the apparel, the associations. Few that are entangled in the sin of adultery recover out of the snare, for pleasures harden the heart. Therefore, we should be sober and temperate, modest and circumspect in marriage, and chaste in society. We should flee all occasions and incentives to uncleanness. Beginning with our own hearts, make a definite choice and be satisfied with what we have. You know something? Happiness is not getting all you want. It is enjoying all you have. Oh, that's such a vital truth. Happiness is not getting all you want. It is enjoying all you have. We must beware of idleness, fear God, and set our delight in the Word of God. Those who are married should love their own spouses. It is not the having of a spouse, but the loving of one's spouse that makes a person live chastely. He who loves his wife, whom Solomon calls his fountain, will not go abroad to drink of muddy, poisoned waters. We need to be reminded that God sees this act of sin, and that this sin is very hard to overcome. If we are to keep our bodies pure, our souls must remain pure. Consider the story of King David and Bathsheba, a tragic tale of adultery encompassing one's appetites, acts, apparel, and associations. The indulgence of pleasures hardened David's heart, leading to dire consequences. Let us be sober and temperate, careful in our choices, and content with what we have, for happiness is found in enjoying what we already possess. This warning is essential for adults and teens alike to heed, as the allure of forbidden fruit can lead to devastating outcomes. Our passions and desires are God-given. When we control them, they make our firesides places of comfort and cheer. When we do not control them, they consume our homes and leave us miserable wanderers. In the Bible, we see the story of Samson, a man driven by his desires and passions. His unchecked appetites led to his downfall and brought devastation to his life. On the other hand, we see characters like Joseph, who, despite facing trials and temptations, exercised self-control and found favor with God. Our passions and desires can either build us up or tear us down, depending on how we handle them. And so it's important that we approach the subject of marriage periodically from the pulpit and from the microphone. A high ideal for marriage is a great incentive to purity of heart. If young people anticipate a pure marriage, every step toward it must be in the way of virtue. If you wish to win a pure person as your lifelong companion, you should be unwilling to give less than you wish to receive. You will keep your own soul sweet and clean. Thank God for clear instructions from His Word, which guide us in ways to please Him and in ways which make life most meaningful. I'm so glad you joined us today for Missionary Echoes.